for your word. We recognize that there is nothing more important than your word, because you and your word are one. The word of God says in John 1 that in the beginning was the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the word was God, and the word was with God. Then it says in that 14th verse that the word became flesh in the form of Jesus and dwell among us, Father. So we thank you, Father, that you've given your church, your children, the word, Father, our guidebook, our handbook, our prayer book, our worship book. And we thank you this morning for your word, Father. And Father, I'm praying, Father, for that as we do not only this series, but every series, people will understand, that we will all understand, that I will understand how important your word is, how important to fall in love and just adore and crave after your word, Father. And Father, and I thank you that as that becomes clearer to us and we develop an understanding, then our lives will change and people will see those changes and they'll be astounded, Father, as to the progress, the spiritual progress, the physical progress, the mental progress, the financial progress that we're making, Father. And they'll be asking us, sister, brother, what happened? What'd you do? And we'll be able to share the love of God with them, the love of Jesus with them, Father. So, Father, we thank you for this word this morning. Father, I pray, Father, that as the word is taught, the revelation will come to them. They will understand it. Your word says, and all you're getting to get understanding. So may we understand your word, Father. And as we do so, Father, I thank you that our lives will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hands. The ushers will loan you a Bible. We're going to Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about faith. And and the basics of faith. In other words, we're going down to some of the elementary things. I don't know about y'all, but I wish that back in the day they was teaching us more about faith and love and some other the things in the Word of God that we, you know, at least I don't remember hearing about them. Perhaps they did, but I know it's so important. So very important to understand. One of the first subjects that my late wife and I, Cecilia, started to study was faith, and it is a matter of fact, the churches like this church are called Word of Faith churches, and they're not called that for a good reason. People try to make fun of you. If you're walking by faith, you got to understand that we really, in Christianity, we are the minority. You know, because most folks don't believe you can be healed. They don't understand tongues, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They say all that stuff died when the last apostle died, but there's no scripture to prove that. So if you find it in the Word, I'll believe it. You can't just come up with some theological doctrine. Just because you know two other million people believe it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to believe it. But I'm standing on the book. If it's in the book, then we can roll with it. So I do know that faith is important to God. I do know that it should, you know, whatever is important to God ought to be important to us. And just like if you're married, whatever important to your spouse ought to be important to you. And if it isn't important, you need to start making it important. And until you make it important, you need to start acting like it's important. Amen. So faith is what we're going to talk about. Last Sunday, I'll give you another definition today. We said faith is having complete trust in someone or something. And then a lot of times people say, well, I don't have faith. Everybody in this room got faith. To one degree or another, you drove to church by faith, You drove in an automobile that not only have gasoline in it, but it got sparks all at the same time. And you trust in the manufacturer that he made that vehicle so well that that gas and those sparks will never meet. So you drove here by faith. Amen. And you didn't know whether your brakes was going to be working. They might have worked when you first stopped out of the driveway, but how did you know they was going to be working later on? You did it by faith. So you got faith. And so, you know, we always say, well, I wish I had faith like Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so. Well, you do have faith, believe it or not. And if, you know, and it just may be little faith, but faith is like a muscle and it can be developed. Right. You can take weak faith and make it strong faith. And if you feed it on the word, if you exercise it on the word of God, it will grow and it will become stronger. The other definition that I want to give you this morning, that faith is a positive response to the word of God. A positive response to the word of God. In other words, if God said it in his word, say for instance, he said that you can be prosperous, and then you ought to be responding positively to what the word of God says concerning that. But see, too many of us walk by sight, walk by what we see, walk by how we feel, and we've certainly moved by what we hear. Our five physical senses are so very important. I mean, extremely important. But faith is beyond your five senses. And so it's important that we understand this. This is a teaching ministry. When we get the word of God, we break it down. As I said earlier, I'm not here to entertain you. And that's one of the problems that we've had as a people. We come to church to feel something, to feel good. And there's nothing wrong with it, feeling something. But it ought to be the result of you knowing something that you feel something. Amen. Because a lot of us feel something, and as soon as we hit the parking lot, the feeling is gone. And so we go from Sunday to Sunday, and then we got to come and get our next fix. You know, we get hooped up a little bit more, and we get our next fix. Then we do that 52 times of the year. And then when we look at it, our lives are really not changing. We're in the same old mess that we're in. Our bank account is in the same place. You know, every year, at December 31st, you know, I got $8.32 in the bank. Amen. And I'm waiting to get my income tax statement. Then I get a little income tax. I'm king for a day. And then that's gone within, 10, 12 days. Because it seems like when you get your little check, there's a little signal go out. And all the children that didn't call, they start calling. And all of the friends that on and on and on. But see, God's got a better way. See, it's not just about going to church. If going to church was the answer, folks of color, we would be at the top of the heap. So it's more than going. It is. Do you have a revelation of the Word of God? Do you understand what's coming out of these pulpits, and putting it to practice in our lives? We have settled, as I said, just for feeling good. And if that's all you want, then that's fine. But God's got something better than that. There's nothing wrong with hooping and what have you. But you got to have some word. You got to have some word in there. You got to have word with revelation enough that it's changing the people's life. And it's not just an ego thing, so that we can show you how well that we can hoop. It's deeper than that, thanks to God. And a lot of times we make it that. Here's what I can do, but show the people what God can do. Yes. Amen. Show the people how God can change their lives. Amen. Our hope is in God and not in man. So you got to know that with God, no thing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. You know, but you got to believe, you got to learn to trust, you got to learn to yield and depend on God. If you really believe that nothing is impossible. In other words, you're living in communion with him, with common union with him. Yeah. Amen. That he's not just a 911 number that you call up when something goes wrong. That he is, that you're talking with him, you're communing with him all day, every day, not some days, not just on Christmas and Easter and Mother Day, but you have a relationship with God where you're tapping into him at all times, letting him know how wonderful he is, thanking God for what he's done for your life. It's so wonderful when we get to that. So Hebrews 11:6, amen. So we are in the midst of challenging times, thanks to God, and so we got to learn how to trust God. These are challenging times that we are in, and you got to learn to trust God. He's a good God. Hebrews 11:6, and many of you know, most of you know, this is the foundation scripture of the church, the scripture that this church was founded on, Hebrews 11:6, and it says this, but without faith, or with no faith, it is impossible. Impossible means not possible to please him. Him who? Talking about God. Amen. For he, that means she too, that comes to God must, everybody say must. Must believe that he is. Now, if you come into God, you got to believe that he is, that he exists. And he is a what? Not a punisher. See, we all, you know, our lives are so messed up all the time is that we always think that God is out to punish us for something because our lives are so raggedy. But the word of God says that he is a rewarder of who? Them that diligently seek him. Now, when you are diligent about something, that means you go out of your way. I can remember back in the day when, in Royal Court when we was used to play hide and go seek. It was, we was real clever. I mean, we would hide in the cars, trees, behind bushes, behind the wall, all kind of different places. And so if you was going to find somebody, you were not going to just not, you know, look, you know, go 5 or 10 feet and find somebody. You had to be diligent about it. You had to go out of your way in order to find somebody. And that's how it is. We want everything easy, but you got to be diligent. How do I diligently seek him? Well, when I have Wednesday Bible study, I'm here. When I have Sunday church, I'm here. When we have men's fellowship, we're here. And we have a special conference, we're here. If we're ministering in another church, I'm there. I'm diligently seeking the Lord. I'm studying at home. Glory to God. My lunch break, I'm going to get a little prayer in. I'm going to listen to the word as much as I can at work. I'm diligently seeking the Lord. I'm talking about all of us now. That's how you got to be. You got to be diligent about it. For he that comes to God must believe that God is and that God is a rewarder. Amen. You know, forget about your life. I understand your life was raggedy. You know, everybody's done something. Everybody in here is an ex something or another. Amen. You better believe that. Now, you may not rob no banks or nothing. Amen. But you have done some stuff. Amen. You have done some stuff. And the Romans says, in Romans it says that all have sinned, not a few of us. It says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, the cure for sin is salvation. The moment you get saved, we call it salvation, we call it being born again, we call it the new birth. The moment you are saved, one-third of you, your spirit alone, becomes saved. The Holy Ghost performs a miracle surgery on your spirit, and that sin nature that every boy and every girl is born with, we are born with a sin nature in our spirit. That sin nature, the root, I mean all the way down to the roots, not even one root is left, is ripped out of us by the Holy Ghost. Now our spirit, saying to God, for everybody that's saved, is 100% pure, just like Jesus' spirit is. Amen. Now, so you are more than just a man, more than just a woman. One-third of you is divine. It's the other two-thirds that you got to work on in order to do better. That other two-thirds consist of, praise God, the other two-thirds consist of our soul. And in our soul, we have compartments in our soul. our mind, our will, our imagination, our emotion, our intellect, all of that stuff is in the soulless realm. And then that third part is called the body or flesh. And flesh will go along with whoever is the strongest in their life. How y'all know that one of the terrorists, ushers? Glory to God. Y'all was on the job. All right. I can't relax. I don't care who coming up. You better make sure. Amen. That's what I'm saying. We're living in challenging times. There's some crazy stuff going on in churches. You don't know. Read the paper sometime. Google it sometime. Some crazy stuff happens in the house of God. Glory to God. Amen. And so it's, you know, when it comes to our faith, the three parts of us, spirit, soul, and body, I am a spirit. The real me is a spirit. Amen. And my spirit happens to have a soul, and it lives on the inside of this great temple that's called the body. Amen. And so what we do is that the devil always has us thinking about what we used to do. What you did on prom night, you know, the nights, you know, sneaking out of the window, you know, to meet your boyfriend and meeting somebody, husband, at the motel. He had you just thinking about that all the time. Think about all the dope that you used to do and what you did to get the dope. He had you always thinking of all of this negative stuff. And what you have to understand is that that is not you anymore if you are a Christian. Amen. Amen. And so we think we spend far too much time thinking about what we used to be than who we really are. And that's why we don't move as far as we should move, because if you're thinking about that all the time, you don't feel worthy enough to be blessed, worthy enough to get a good husband, worthy enough to get a good wife, worthy enough to be healed, on and on and on. So you got to know who you are, saints to God, and we have to believe by faith who you are. Amen. Glory to God, your head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Glory to God. Royal priesthood, chosen generation, can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. And it's all about the word of God. The word of God will change your life. We have become prisoners of religion. Jesus did not come here to start a religion. It's us, mankind, who once started religions. That's why we got so many different churches with different names on them and different denominations and what have you. And this is denominational war. No, I can't go with the Methodists. They don't believe that. I can't go with the Baptists. They don't believe that. Can't go with them crazy Pentecostals. They just might bust out speaking in tongue at any time. Know what they be saying. They don't know what they be saying either. Glory to God. In the meantime, the devil is laughing at all of us. Glory to God. I'm standing on the word of God. Well, see, the question is what does the book say? Let's go with the book. Amen. I ain't going to hell just because some preacher went to hell. I just cause the nomination ain't right. I don't care if grandma went there, granddaddy went there, mama went there, first cousin, second cousins, and my boyfriend. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going where the word of God is taught that's going to change my life. Amen. See, I grew up in a Methodist church. Grandmama went there. My mama went there. All my brothers went there. Glory to God. But once I found the truth, and not that it wasn't teaching the truth. Now, I want to certainly, all the thousands of people that have been got saved in denominational churches, who am I? You know, I'm not putting anybody down. But I'm talking about the word of truth that can change your life. Amen. Make you a different person. Man, oh man. Don't try to, you know, separate me from it. It works, thanks to God. Amen. So Hebrews 11:6 is talking about an encounter. Be what? You are who he that comes to God. So you're having an encounter with God. So when you come to God, you got to say, I believe that God is there. And I believe that he is a rewarder, not a punisher. Glory to God. See, a good daddy is a rewarder. Amen. He ain't going to beat you for what you did 4 years ago. He said, well, you know, son, you remember, I just thought about something. You got away with stealing them cookies 4 years ago. Yeah, it's time for payday. No, a good daddy wouldn't do that. Glory to God. He is a rewarder, the word of God says, of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So you got to go out of your way. We don't have no excuses why we don't be in Bible study on Wednesday. Well, yes, we do. We got excuses. I'm sorry. We don't have good excuses, a legitimate excuse. Not unless you're working or in labor. Now, you're in labor, you got a real good excuse. Amen. All right. So it's if we want the best of God, then we got to seek after God. Amen. We are meant to fellowship with one another. I love Christian TV. I love looking at Roku and pastors on the internet and streaming and what have you. But there's something about when we all get together like we are here right now that is so very important, thanks to God. Amen. And that there is an anointing. We are meant to be together. We need each other. I got a lot of people thinking, no, I've been on my own so long. It's just, no, you need somebody. You just don't know you need somebody. Amen. Everybody needs somebody. You need somebody. Hey, glory to God. So anyway, in the flesh, you can't please God in the flesh. All this fleshly stuff we do ain't pleasing God. Amen. It is faith that pleases God. Amen. So I want to talk to you about a couple of basics of faith that we need to walk in. Number one, you have to understand you cannot please God based on your self-righteousness. You know, because you're a big giver. Because you clean the church and you volunteer your time and you clean the church every week, you know. So you don't become self-righteous. You know, you can't please God with that. You know, in other words, you made your own self-righteous. Jesus is the one that makes us righteous. Amen. We don't make our own self-righteous. So you got to understand that. That don't please God. When we allow and accept Jesus' righteousness and allow that righteousness to control and lead and guide our lives, God loves that, saints of God. Amen. Another thing we need to understand that's important of the basics. Amen. So the question is, you say, well, Pastor, this sounds so exciting. Well, how in the world do I get faith? Go to Romans chapter 10. How do we get it? Where does it come from? Can I order it? I like Amazon. Can I get it on Amazon? Because I know you get it on Amazon Prime. You get it sometimes you get it the same day. Definitely within 2 days. Does Walmart have it? What about Uncle Buddy from Germany? Can he tell me? How does faith come, thanks to God? Amen. Glory to God. Romans 10, are we there? Verse 17 says, So then, faith cometh. Everybody say, faith cometh. Amen. Amen. Faith is awakened, is activated. How? By hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. So what happens to us as Christians, we'll hear the scripture say, well, I heard that. I've been saying that scripture since I was a little girl in Sunday school. Well, you've been saying that. You've been just like a parrot, though. You get a parrot to say some stuff. But if it's not penetrating you, do you understand it when you see the word of God? Do you understand what you just read? That faith comes by hearing. H-E-A-R-I-N-G. Now, what do you usually call it? Congregating verbs. You know, past, is that past, present, or future tense? Hearing. Help me out. Y'all been out of school a long time, too? Ain't nobody saying no. Just like school, let me hear it now. Present tense. It don't come from having heard the word. It comes from hearing the word of God. That's why it's important to be in the word of God every day of your life. You don't have to spend all day in the word of God because most of us don't have time to spend all day. But you have to spend some regular time. See, all this time we spent trying to make some man happy or some woman happy or some supervisor happy or, you know, some children that, you know, don't really care about us, you know, one way or the other. But, you know, we have got to get into the Word of God, because if my faith is going to be awakened, if my faith is going to be activated, then I have to be hearing the Word of God on a consistent and on a regular basis, not every now and then. Amen. Can't just drive through and get some word and it's going to last you forever. You just try to eat, you know, say, well, Pastor, I come to church every 2 weeks. Well, you try eating every 2 weeks and see how you look at the end of the year. We don't even need to open the door for you. You can just slide right through that crack. You'd be, glory to God. You got to have the Word of God. If you're a Christian, saint to God, we've got to feed on the Word of God, because it activates your faith. It activates, what do we say faith is? Complete trust in somebody. In this case, God. Then the new one that I got is a positive response to the Word of God. If you want to be able to act positive. To the Word of God, when the Word of God says, by His stripes we are healed, if you are not for that Word of God, you will be more apt to believe what the doctor say, what the MRI says, what the CAT scan say, than what the Word of God says. Right. Amen. All of those things are important. But the bottom line is, what did God say about my case? Yeah. Amen. What is God saying about it? What a change of life, saints. Amen. Amen. So it's not having heard. You got to keep on hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. Amen. Amen. So, and that's what we get messed up in church. Church folks, you know, hear something one or two times, say, oh, man, he's saying that scripture again. Yeah, I'm going to keep on saying it until you get it. Amen. That's why when I do series, say, oh, he's going to open up, he's going to say, here's a golden text, and then we're going to say it next week and stuff. And see, that's the devil messing with you now. Amen. He wants you to get, you know, a little complacent, think you got it. Say, well, you know, how we've been on this 6 weeks and stuff. How long are we going to be on? Till you get it. Till you get it. Well, I can stay on it 6 weeks, and if I quiz you, if I want to be devious, if I quiz you about it, you'll find out you ain't been listening in 6 weeks. You've been grumbling the whole, you know, the first week, you know, you was fired up. After that, you know, flesh always wants something new. Yeah. Amen. That's why men have so many women. It's, you know, it's in your flesh. Y'all better study these brothers. You really have to study men. I'm telling you, we are quite a species. Glory to God. Amen. Don't be falling for that first, I love you. These little teenage girls, well, mama, he said he loved. Well, yeah, he said that. But did he mean it? You can't trust nobody that hormones just raging all the time. Like when you're a teenager, just raging. Goodness. That's why if you don't have this word to steady you, we just make mistakes after mistakes. It'd be like Groundhog Day. We keep making the same mistake over and over. And then we get mad when somebody tells us we're making the same mistake over and over. And he says, well, I'm just sick of you. And then you need a favor. You're the first one you come to. Mama, you know, the first one you come to. I'm moving out. I'm grown. Okay. Boy, there's a whole lot of folks wish they could stay with mama. Sucking up free air conditioning, eating food, folks cooking for you. Making beds. And man, please. Amen. So in other words, now we got a hunger for the Word of God. You know, faith doesn't come by begging. And I got news for you. Don't come by praying either. You can't pray and get faith. Faith only comes from hearing the Word of God. Amen. See, we try to do too much stuff with prayer that prayer wasn't meant to do. That's why most prayer, that's probably why about 80, 90% of the prayers ain't working. We're not doing them according to the word of God. We pray about everything. We don't need to pray about everything. Sometimes you just all you need to do is just say. Amen. Just you ain't got to pray, just say. Glory to God. So faith is kind of like an organism. It's a living thing. You got to treat it right. You got to exercise it, and you got to let faith know how important that it is in your life, because it is what causes you to please God when you're exercising this faith. Amen. And so until we get a revelation on something, we haven't really heard it. So that's why you got to keep on hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it until you get a revelation, thanks to God. And so that's why we are here, to hear the word of God. Amen. I could learn how to hoop if I really want to hoop. They have folks hooping all over town. Everywhere you go, it just hooping. Can't have to talk at the end of the service. Got to put, you know, a great day. But I got to have something I could put, you know, that I can plant. This word I could plant and make it grow in my heart. Amen. Now, once again, I don't go out here lying. That pastor say, you know, that pastor will be talking bad about hooping. No, don't go out there and start. None of my brothers out there. I ain't got time to be fighting y'all and them. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we all, saints of God, we got to start craving the word of God. Now, I ain't going to ask for a show of hand, but I'm hazarding to guess not a whole lot of people in here crave the word of God. Now, that's some stuff we crave. But it ain't the word. Boy, you got to learn. I'm talking about, when I say you, for the visitors, when I say you, I'm talking about the universal you, which means us. Amen. We've got to start craving the word of God. The word of God. You know, you can be hanging out with the average Christian. Maybe you could be at the mall, maybe having a little lunch together, what have you. There is a limit of words that people want to hear. You say, hey, Sunday. Glory to God. Why? Because the mind, you know, the world has said, you know, that 2 hours on Sunday is when you get the word, and after that, you on your own. No, we are Christians all the time, saints of God. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 4 a.m. in the morning, in San Francisco, in Tokyo, everywhere we are Christians. You got to understand that, saints of God. Amen. If you like to cuss, why ain't you cussing right now? Amen. Why? Because you respect the house. Amen. But don't you know the word of God says that he'll never leave you and forsake you. Everywhere you go at, God's there. You think God ain't at the track with you when you're cussing and you had 1-4-8 and it came out 1-4-7? Goodness. Amen. Who you are when you are not here is who you are. Let me say this again. Who you are and how you act when you are not here is who you really are. Amen. Everybody on the good foot now. I done preached many, and this is our 25th year anniversary. I've preached many a sermon. Ain't nobody never pull out no crack pipe and start smoking in here. I ain't never heard no noise. I said, what is that? And somebody under the seat's fornicating. That ain't never happened in here. Amen. See, that's a form. The word of God says that's a form of godliness. But you got to be, you know, you got to be right all the time. If you ain't cursing in here, then why you cursing? You know, why you cursing when you're with your family and your friend? So that's what we do. We eat crabs and we cuss, Pastor. Why don't you just try just eating crabs? I can't help it. Everybody start cussing, I just fall right in. Well, it may be trying to, it's time to find some new crab partners then. And they got that kind of power over you. Because you get mad enough, you will cuss in here. I've seen it happen. Amen. I've heard it happen. Folks got, I mean, just lost it. That wasn't in here. They was in the church, in the building. They wasn't in the sanctuary. Just lost it. That's what the devil would do. And the devil say, do you see what we made him do? Because the devil always said, I can see something brewing there. He'll tell his boys, go get the popcorn ready. And tell the other guy, get the soft drinks ready. Watch what I do. Somebody just go overboard. Next thing you know, they're arguing about something. And they're eating popcorn and just laughing. Say, well, they in the house of God. They in God's very house. Amen. That's just how much they love him. Or eat that. Whew, getting this thing to God. But if you ain't craving the word of God, see, it's when I miss it, it bothers me. It bothers me when I miss it. You know, when I was not saved, it did not bother me. You know, my heart had got hardened. I ain't talking about like criminal heart, but I'm just talking about word heart. You know, it just didn't bother me. You know, I thought wrong was right. You know, you do it long enough, you do wrong long enough. You think that's just the way everybody ought to be, and then you'd be looking at people that do right, you'd be looking at them funny. You think, well, why everybody don't like to, you know, drink and smoke? Well, that's what the devil will do. You know, he'll flip it around on us, thanks to God. But the word works, thanks to God. Amen. So as we respecting God and as we hungering for God, we ought to expect that every time we get together, something supernatural is going to jump down. Don't know what it is. Don't know what part of the service. It could be in the praise and worship. It could be in the song. It could be while the pastor teaching. But I'm expecting for something good to happen up in this house. It can be all three or four of those areas. It can start in Sunday school. It can start the revival right in Sunday school. And we end it with the last service. That's what we ought to expect when we assemble ourselves together, because we're going to get a revelation of the word of God. And as we get those revelations, then faith coming. Faith is awakening. So make sure you get an understanding. Ask God for a revelation. Ephesians. You want a revelation of the word of God. My goodness. I want it to get deep. This is a prayer that our brother Paul prayed. You see, he don't call himself Saul. See, we used to be, you know, before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. We all were Sauls at one time. That's a classic example of how you can change. Saul was a bad boy. Man, who knows how many Christians he had killed. And in prison and beaten and what have you. But one day, you know, him and his little donkey going down the street, and a light shined down on him. Glory to God. He wasn't the same since then. That's what light will do. Boy, once that light shined on me, I did. Boy, it was practically a 360. It was just like, whoa, I can see now. Thank you, Lord. Now, Paul was praying here, and in verse 16, he says, Ephesians 1, verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Well, what you praying about, Brother Paul? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, us, here at Vicar Christian Center, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of him. That's what I was just talking about. We need to have revelation. We also need to have wisdom. Amen. See, wisdom is learning how to apply that which you know, that knowledge that you get. How do I apply that? You're not making mistakes all the time. You're not making the same mistakes that you did when you was a teenager. You're 35, 45, 55 years old now. You shouldn't be making teenage mistakes. The Word of God will give you some wisdom if you will allow it to do so. Amen. And you have to, And you have to learn how to check our flesh. Men have to learn how to check out their flesh. That's why most men get in trouble. They don't check their flesh. Amen. Don't check their flesh. You have to constantly check your flesh. Don't trust your flesh now. It will embarrass you. When you think you got it, boy, you have to stay on him every day. It'll have you down here at the altar crying. It's, oh, that brother is so spiritual. No, he was watching pornography all night. Amen. Flesh should do that. Because it's so easy now, isn't it? You just have to go to like little special places. The little theater or the X-rated shop. Now you just, your phone, you just take your phone out and you can be minding your own business and somebody else send you a text with stuff you don't want to see. Goodness, it's a wild age we live in. Technologies make it easy, faster, wow. We ain't no wilder than any other generation if you really look at the Bible. There's some crazy stuff been going on a long time. They just didn't have no phones. They're doing everything that we do. They just didn't have no phones. Thank goodness. Amen. I was talking about some important basis of faith that we need to walk in. Number one, I said that we need to understand that we cannot please God based on our selfishness. Number two, I said that we talked about how to get faith. I think we're all in agreement. The Word of God says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And then thirdly, we got to learn how to walk by faith and not our five physical senses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Walk by the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oops. Other direction. When we're in the natural, we walk by our senses. I mean, you see a 18-wheeler coming, that's an 18-wheeler. You can't talk about, I don't believe no 18-wheeler coming. Okay. It's going to be bad news for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You got to learn how to do this. It doesn't come overnight. You have to learn how to walk by faith. Walk by the Word of God and not by sight. In other words, walk by what the Word says and not what the banker said, what the lawyer said, what the doctor said. Amen. 5:7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." In other words, we're walking by faith and not our five senses. It's a spiritual walk we're walking in. And if you're not hungering for the Word of God, if we're not getting that Word of God in you, then you're not building your Word, you're not developing faith in order to walk by it. And so any negative report that we hear, we break down and cry like Jesus is going to Denmark on vacation and left the phone off the hook that we can't reach him. No, we're going to walk by the Word of God. Whatever they tell you, just, you know, your response is that my God is still in the healing business. My God is still in the lending business. He's the prosperity business. My God is still in the delivering business. Glory to God. You can't do that if the Word of God ain't in you. You'll melt. Amen. See, you got to understand something. God is here now, whether you feel him or not. See, we got to feel something before we believe it's real. No, you believe it's real first. And then you perhaps you can feel, spiritual things sometimes or you can almost feel like you can touch them sometimes. They're perceptible to the touch. But they're unseen. It can get so real that it's the atmosphere is so thick with anointing and grace and love that you can feel like you can cut slices of it out. Glory to God. But that's when the assembly understand how important for us to keep our hearts right toward each other. They're gonna get mad at you because you ain't looked at me funny. Amen. And we know it's and we get offended and then this, that, and the other. We get mad and then we just get take off and and just all kind of stuff that, you know, the enemy get in with us. And all that does is interfere with the move of God in the house of God. What we're doing unconsciously, we are yielding to demonic forces that's diminishing the power in the houses of God. And so we got to get away from that, saints. So very important. Look at somebody says, God is here whether you feel him or not. Amen. So, you know, we sing about we believe God, but, you know, are we acting on the word of God? More than just a song, saints. Are we acting on the word of God? Amen. Are you walking in faith or are you not? So if you ain't walking in faith, you're certainly going to be caught up in darkness and confusion. You don't want to be caught up in anything. Go to Romans chapter 1. Another thing we need to remember is that those of us that have been declared righteous or just, that we walk by faith. That's what the Word of God says. He says the righteous will live by faith. So in other words, all of this good news you're getting this morning, it won't sink in with just one teaching. Now, it will motivate you to come get some more, but until you come get some more, it won't last you for all eternity. You have to. It's like manna. You got to eat it. You got to eat it every day. Glory to God. And then the more you eat it, the stronger you get. Thanks to God. This word will change your life. Do you want your life changed? You say yes, Pastor. I want it changed. Well, will you do the word? If it's easy, child, please. Please. What is easy? Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Written where? Written in the Word. The just shall live by faith. There's four or five other scriptures in the Word of God that says the same thing. Habakkuk 2 and 4, John 3:36, Galatians 3:11, all of them talking about the just living by faith. Those of us just means those of us that have been declared righteous. That's who you are. Most of y'all don't even realize that you're righteous. And those that do know that you're righteous, you don't even think that you're righteous. Why? Because we got too much of a sin conscious. You ain't that no more. You're a new creature, the Word of God says. Amen. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what you got to remember. That's why it's so hard to stop doing stuff, because you still think you're that. Amen. So when you see yourself new, you know, you stop doing that other stuff. Amen. So you say, well, why is faith important? Yes, faith is just as important. Is breathing important? It's just that important. That's how important faith is. It's just as important as breathing. In other words, you can't live without it. You cannot prevail here on this planet without having faith. You got to have faith. You build up your faith by the Word of God. Glory to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So another thing that faith will do, faith speaks. So in other words, you'll know how you're living and operating by faith, whether or not you're speaking. What are you talking about? 2 Corinthians. Glory to God. What are we? Are we speaking? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Faith speaks. I listen to people sometimes. I say, oh, my goodness. It's just, we're just so used to speaking negative stuff. We're so used to talking about the circumstances. So that's why we stay in a mess. Because everybody you meet, you feel like it's your obligation to tell them about the circumstances. So you done told 21 people the same story. Now that thing, faith comes by what? Hearing. Now you start to believe it, that it's impossible for you to get out of. You say it about 21 times. Glory to God. No matter what it looked like, you got to say, I believe that all is well. What did that woman say, the widow in was it 2 Kings or so? Son was dead. She sent for the prophet. But I said, how is it doing? She said, all is well. Glory to God. She wasn't crying and slobbing all over the place. She said, all is well. She sent for the man of God. Glory to God. For that day was over with, all was well. Glory to God. That's the kind of faith that you have to have, saints of God. You can't be moved. That's what it's talking about. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We walk by what? Faith. And not by sight. Glory to God. My. It will change your life. Walking by faith. I ain't walking by, I see him dead. I'm walking by the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. So you can see, I can see the authorized, but I ain't walking by that. So I'm walking by the word of God. Boy, I heard people say my authorized. They didn't personalize it. My authorized is earth. Your authorized. When you sign for that? On what day, when God created the heaven and earth, what day did he create arthritis and cancer and high blood pressure? No days. You know how sickness got on the earth? Through sin. Opened the door to all these diseases that are here. These diseases are curses. Amen. It's curses. So you can, your confession is according to Deuteronomy 28 chapter, fill in the blank. Say you got boogaloo. Say you got a bad case of boogaloo. Say, Father, according to Deuteronomy 28 chapter, boogaloo is a curse of the law. But your word says in Galatians 3:13 that I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. In other words, I'm bought back. I've been rescued from the curse of the law. Therefore, I cannot have boogaloo. So boogaloo! You got to leave my body in Jesus' name. See, faith comes by hearing. You say, how long you have to say it? Till the victory is won. Everybody want to say it one or two times. Boy, sometimes you have to say it thousands of times before it happens. But when it does, hallelujah at your house. Hallelujah at your house. Glory to God. Amen. And see your car parked on the side of the end and say, you running on the median. Just rejoicing. I say, ain't no stop. That's just a so-and-so. She got a healing. She's, glory to God. We're going to miss the plane. She got it. Go on. keep driving. Glory to God. Amen. That's how good our God is. Oh, goodness. Y'all found 2 Corinthians yet? Chapter 4, verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith. As who? As Jesus? According as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. And therefore we speak. If you believe, what are you speaking over yourself? Amen. That's why I know some of y'all think I be picking on you, because when I start talking to the quiet people, they say, there you go again. I wish you'd just leave us alone. But you got to start opening your mouth and say something. You stuck. You're going to stay stuck until you start opening your mouth, speaking what the word of God says over your life, about your situation, and who you are. You will stay stuck because speaking the words is all about your faith. Amen. And you can't pray that away. You got to say it. He didn't tell them to pray to the mountain. Jesus told them to speak to the mountain. And we pray into the mountain for it to be removed. And Jesus said, no, speak to it. That's why I said earlier, we try to do too much through prayer. There's a time to pray, and there's a time to say. Glory to God. Mark 11. Let's go right there right now. My. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Boy, I hope y'all don't miss none of this series. You'll be glad if you don't miss it. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and verse 24. Amen. Faith works by seeing. Everybody say, repeat after me. Say, my faith works by me saying. Mark 11.
I'm sorry, we done.
y'all a good congregation. Praise God. Mark 11, 23. This is Jesus. You see that red ink? That's Jesus. That didn't mean the publisher ran out of ink, black ink, so he put a little red in and then replenished it. But these are words that are attributed to our Savior. And Jesus says, for verily I say unto you, well, see what happened here. Let me give you a little background. They were they had come down from the Mount of Olivet, and they saw this tree. The figs was on the tree. And when they got to the tree, there wasn't no figs on it. Jesus cursed the tree. So they came by the next day. The tree was, the Word of God says, it was dead, dried up from the roots. Glory. So it was, I mean, that's amazing. And so they was astounded. So Jesus realized this was a teachable moment. And so in 22, he told them to have faith in God, or the God kind of faith. Now he goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, now see that's you, whosoever is you, that whosoever shall say, S-A-Y, say unto this mountain, what's the mountain he's talking about? Not Mount Everest. The mountain in your life could be bills, it could be a depression, it could be fear, it could be whatever it is. Say unto this mountain, glory to God, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in your heart. You got to say it and believe it. Look at somebody, say it and believe it. Amen. Glory to God. And shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. That's what Jesus said. Now, it's got to be based on the Word of God. You can't come up with no crazy stuff. Well, say, oh, okay, I'm gonna claim somebody's husband. Don't do that. Claim somebody, don't do that. It's got to be in line with the Word of God. You got to believe it, and you got to say it, saints of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 22 and 23. No, let's do 24. Therefore I say, Jesus once again, therefore I say unto you, therefore, for this cause I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray. Now, when you're praying, here's what you need to do, saints of God. When you pray, when the moment that you pray, you believe that you receive them and you shall have. In other words, you're not walking by sight. You are walking by faith. The moment that you pray, saints of God, believe that you have what you prayed for. That's why many of us don't get anything from prayer, because as soon as we stop praying, we look to see if the mold done fell off your hand. You say, well, it ain't gone. Like maybe he ain't hear my prayer. So you have nullified your prayer. You got to believe that you receive it the moment it comes out of your mouth. Amen. That's why your tongue should always speak nothing but the truth. That's why you got to stop lying. Let me say that again. That's why you got to stop lying to one another. Borrowing people money. No, you ain't going to pay them back. You know, coming down here lying about stuff that, you know, your lights are, now your lights ain't off. You done mess, you know, you done gave Pookie the money. Glory to God. You give Pookie some money and I find out you're going to stay in the dark. Oh, you in the tree going to be eating pork and beans with candles. Glory to God. Sometimes, you know, you got to learn something the hard way. You're paying for Pookie rims and you eating. Jesus. Amen. Boy, that's a soul spot. Don't let me go there. Look at this. Stay focused, Pastor. Goodness. So in other words, faith works by saying, thanks to God. You got to say, what's coming out of your mouth about your situation? Are you complaining about it all the time? Or are you saying faith-filled words over it all the time? Glory to God. You complaining about your children all the time? Or are you faith-filled? You complaining about your pastor all the time? Or are you saying faith-filled words about your pastor? Glory to God. Oh, saints of God, it's time. There's a time to pray. Prayer is essential, but it's not meant for everything. It's a time to pray. And there's a time to say, glory to God. You got to know the difference. Amen. Glory to God. See, you're not going to always have what you pray, but you'll always have what you say. Because a lot of times what you pray, you don't believe it. But what you say, you'll say it over and over until you start to believe it. Amen. Let's do it. See, because words are like containers. Just say this is a container. This bottle is a container. Words are just like that. You know, they're containers. They can contain life or it can contain death. It can contain a happy marriage or it can contain a bad marriage. Glory to God. It can contain a happiness or it can contain fear. What's coming out of your mouth? What are you saying about yourself, about your money, about your health, about your promotion? I ain't saying nothing. Well, what you got? Nothing? All right. Well, the word is still working. Just working in reverse. Glory to God. Praise God. Y'all look like y'all had enough, so I'm going to stop. Thank you, Jesus. This is a good series. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Well, you know, they had a Easter egg hunt over at Brother Pharaoh Church. Child, please, you get this. You can go buy you as many eggs as you want. You could pay you could hire somebody to color them for you, too. We miss church for the strangest reasons. Well, Sister McGillicuddy, they making dinner. Well, tell Sister McGillicuddy to put you a dinner to the side. You come in to get it, but you got to hear the word of God first. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I don't know if y'all got anything or not. I certainly did. Amen. There's many more parts to this, so we got a ways to go. Thank you, Jesus. What we didn't do, how do I want to do this? We didn't do testimonies. And maybe there is, or maybe there isn't a testimony, but we need to do an altar call. Praise God. Ask somebody for their heart. See, it's all about, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Are you really saved? Praise God. Elder Oldham, come up and do that. Then I'll see how the Holy Ghost is moving, and then we may or may not receive testimonies. Yes, sir.
Let's give God some praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on.
Woo, Jesus.
Come on. Praise him like you mean it. Praise him like he did something for you. Praise him like he is God. God Almighty. Come on, somebody. Oh, yes. God Almighty. Hallelujah. Don't worry about the person next to you. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. You see, God been too good to me. I have to praise him. I was what the Bible talk about. I was down in the dirt. I was way down. What you see now is they cleaned up. God reached down and got me and pulled me up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to praise God. I don't worry about what nobody else say. Hallelujah. Thank God that I know Jesus. Thank God that I know Jesus. And that's what we're talking about now. If you don't know Jesus, if there's somebody in here that don't know Jesus, I tell you what, it's a good time right now.
Good time.
This the best time right now to know Jesus. One thing about right now, Sometimes you could pass an opportunity up and walk right out there and it'd be over. And you say you coulda, woulda, shoulda. If God is nudging your heart, see, a lot of times God will be nudging our heart and we'd be worried about what somebody else say or who looking. I'm scared. But if God is nudging your heart, he nudged your heart for a reason.
Yes.
God knows all. Every time you pick up the newspaper nowadays, it's the weirdest thing. I mean, you don't even want to pick up the newspaper anymore. They don't even write about nothing good happening because there's so much bad happening. It's sensationalized. And just imagine now.
Thank you, Lord.
So many of those people that are involved in those things don't know Jesus. So you know where they're going? They're going to hell. And something tells me, I ain't never been to hell, but something tells me I want to go to hell. See, it's a thing about putting off Jesus that you gambling with going to hell. I ain't going to take that gamble. I've already given my life to Jesus. And I'm asking somebody, if there's anybody in here that don't know Jesus, it's a good chance. So I'm going to ask everybody, just bow your head and close your eyes. So maybe if we're not looking at them, maybe they'll just come on down. So we're not going to put you on Front Street. So if you want to know Jesus, raise your hand. We'll get the usher and help you come on down. Because this is a good time to know Jesus. Yes, it is. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for us. That whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life starts the minute you know Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, you can raise your hand.
Thank you, Jesus.
One other thing. You visitors, this is a good church. We got a good pastor.